time for perf bites.
What the f*** is perf bites? The fourth square meal of the day. Don't bogart the perf bites. Waffles. Microwave ready. Add nutritional value to your brain.
It's time for Perf Bites with your hosts, Mark Tomlinson, James Pulley, and Howard Chorney.
Perf Bites.
Whatever.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. We are broadcasting live from the booth. We have a microphone here if you want to join us. Are you headed into the session?
Yes, I am.
You're headed into the session. But this is a live, you're live on the internet broadcasting on a podcast right now.
Okay.
All right? Yes? So what is your name? If you want to step up to the mic, you can do some. Yeah, just put it right.
I'm Susan.
Hi, Susan. Welcome. Would you like to share one thing that you've learned so far at Perform 15? What's something you've learned?
Two things that I'm really interested in, UEM and DevOps, which I don't have right now. So I'm looking into that.
So what was the thing you picked up about DevOps here at the...
Basically, the whole continuous integration where the developers have the ability to look into the Dynatrace and catch what's going on there.
Okay, and bake it
and
right
bake
into
it right
Jenkins
into the development or... cycle and before they check in. It's their responsibility to fix the performance issues right
okay.
there.
Awesome. Now, you use Dynatrace. How
I have
long
used,
been using?
Yes, yeah. For about a year and a half.
Year and a
I
half. So, and do your developers use it already, or is this
they
a
do.
Way to get them to adopt the tool?
We use it in the QA and production environment right
okay.
now.
But so you're trying to get the developers to
absolutely.
Use it.
Absolutely.
So this is great. You could bake it right into their Jenkins or Bamboo, whatever you've
yes.
got. And
mm-hmm.
then there you okay, so that's the strategy.
I loved your session yesterday morning about the performance...
The puzzler?
Puzzler.
Awesome. Oh, no, extra credit. You can get a stopwatch for that.
All
so
right.
we're giving away a stopwatch. Susan, thank you very much.
All right.
So take a Perfbyte stopwatch here.
All right. Thank you for bringing me here.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a lovely testimonial here. That was marvelous. Thank you. And Susan's off into the main session here. James, we're kicking off the day two here at Dynatrace Perform 2015.
Yes.
All day we're going to be asking people to tell us what they've learned, like Susan. Susan did a great job. She's picking up this thing about DevOps and how to use Dynatrace and baked into DevOps.
Yeah,
which is
DevOps.
Pretty awesome. So, yeah, so on and off the breaks today, we'll ask people who are walking by to step up and share with us what they've learned, which is something they've learned, and it doesn't have to be performance. Maybe they learned how to dance doing the salsa.
Yeah, yeah. He was wearing lederhosen yesterday.
Or how lederhosen could be a fashion statement of celebrity class. That would be very interesting. I just tweeted that, which is pretty awesome. But hey, Alex, how are you? Very good. Hey, would you like to share a testimonial of something you learned yesterday? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Hop on
sure,
the mic
step
right
up
there.
To the mic.
Alex is going to join us.
So what stood out in your mind yesterday more than anything else?
A takeaway.
Well, I'm actually a journalist myself, so.
But something must have hit you.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's mostly, you know, the Ruxit technology.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
I've heard that's really sexy. I haven't seen it yet.
Sexy Ruxit.
Sexy. You've heard it's sexy.
I've heard it's sexy.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what all the Facebook ads say.
The Facebook ads say it's sexy?
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't seen the Facebook ads, but it is sexy. And, you know, I think that we're just kind of entering this new time that's going to need kind of new ways to think about monitoring. You know, the game's not over.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's pretty much, you know, that's the thing that's evident in the technology itself. I'm going to learn more about it today.
Yep.
I'm curious about the kind of the context it has, you know, with the Dynatrace technology. So
yeah.
that's
cool.
what I'm looking to learn more about.
So not just the attractiveness, it's the ease of use, the mode it's working with a new set of customers, maybe a new generation of customers.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's like that new generation of customers that... You know, I think it puts it in a kind of a community with companies like Nginx and, you know, and even Docker and that kind of world. So.
Yeah, which is a transformative wave, I think, a new way of delivering, taking the experiences and things and putting that data in a new way. Very nice.
Great.
And I think it's Ruxit.com, right? People can check it out. Ruxit, R-U-X-I-T.com.
Ruxit.com.
Is Ruxit a noun or a verb?
I've been trying to find that out myself, so when I find out, I'll let you know.
Yeah, like, I'm going to go Ruxit that.
Yeah, go Ruxit that.
yeah. or Ruxit.
I got some Ruxit stuff to do.
I got
do.
My Ruxit right here.
Yeah.
Did you put Ruxit in your rucksack?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, all right, guys.
Okay, thanks. Alex, thanks very much. You can take a PerfBite stopwatch for volunteering this. That would be very nice.
And since you're a fellow press member, keep
very
in touch.
Good. Awesome. Thank you, Alex. See ya. There's Celeste, who was seen with a guy wearing lederhosen last night. Watch out for that. Anyone else want to share a testimonial from yesterday's learning? Anything? Would you like to join us? You sure? Yeah. It's very fun. So Ruxit, maybe we interview somebody from Ruxit today. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah, we're going to need to go drag someone down from Ruxit, I think.
That could be. Yeah. I think, to get a stopwatch or a jewel here, you have to share a story from your learnings at the conference this week. A lot of attendees coming by here. You sure you don't want to jump in and share a little? Yeah, come on, see? So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Monique Favallem. I come from Belgium.
From Belgium, welcome.
Yes, Brussels. Awesome.
Okay.
And
what have you learned so far during the week?
I've learned a lot in the hot classes where I'm working currently on configuration and automation of the configuration.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of triggers where to look for and how to proceed to automate everything to keep our environment up to date, because that's one of the most challenges. If you have an environment where constantly new applications, new servers, and so on, agents have to be added, and now it's all manual stuff, so I want to automate all of that, include it in our creation scripts and so on.
Cool.
So everything is automated.
And the continuous integration with Jenkins and Bamboo, that's something that's really been attractive for you.
We currently face issues that applications have been started and so on, and we don't know anything about it. So that's something. And I also want to see the people of Splunk because...
Splunk. We love Splunk.
I heard some things about it. We have some issues like, in some cases, agents don't start up. No, we have a manual scan of all the logins to see if this exception occurs to trigger an ITO message. So we know that the agent didn't start, so we can take action. And I think Splunk could be a solution.
Yeah.
So for sure I have to look over that.
Especially bringing a more formal and a structured query language into logging.
Yeah.
I mean, they transformed that. I mean, there's do-it-yourself versions, but the Splunk, the old do-it-yourself was like kind of a hack. You had to, it's just low-level.
Yeah, there's some open-source tools, but we're big advocates for Splunk. We use it on a performance engineering basis, but its ability to follow, say, a semantic logging path. If you have an application which has 15 elements that need to start, and you can follow to where it failed at the 7th element in the logs, that's great for the mean time to resolution.
Yeah. If I find some time, I still have to go to Splunk too. So I.
Yes.
Yeah. But there's so much to do, and time is very short.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you're picking up some great stuff, so go ahead and have you. There's a Joule, which is the rechargeable battery, or a PerfBite stopwatch. The stopwatch, which you can, if somebody's not measuring performance at your company, give them that and say,
you have no excuse.
You have no excuse now. You've got to measure it. Well, thank you very much for sharing your story.
Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, so that's pretty good. Yeah, exactly.
Part of those big themes, Mark, DevOps, CI. We're hearing that over and over again. A couple mentions of Ruxit, because I think Brian yesterday mentioned Ruxit as well.
Yeah, Brian was talking about that.
Yeah. And if Brian likes it, must be good. It's kind of like Life Cereal. If Mikey likes it.
Let's get Mikey. Mikey will do that.
Yeah.
So this is the kickoff to day two. And again, if we can get more people who... we were out kind of late last night.
True.
We were out kind of late last night. And that pool bar, that was a place to hang out, I guess.
I think
As it would be with any good tech conference, there's late night hanging out. So, yes, exactly. Everyone's making a break 2 minutes after getting into the main keynote that's just ramping up. So we'll see everyone online with more live broadcasts at the next break, where we can grab some more people for testimonials or some interviews with Nicholas, the marketing expert.
Absolutely, and hopefully we'll get some individuals to stop by from some of the partners who are here as well to chat with us.
Awesome. All right, everybody. We'll see you online. Again, you can listen live if you're not already listening live. You can tweet us at @perfbytes. There's also the hashtag Perform2015 you've seen flying around. And you can listen live continuously all day at www.perfbytes.com.
Yeah.
I said that in a very drawl kind of way.
Perfbytes.com.
Perfbytes.com. Perfbytes. Perfbytes. Awesome. All right. We'll see you guys later. Break on day two of the Dynatrace Perform 2015 conference. James, break two, 10 o'clock. We got a long time to go. And we are taking testimonials live from the folks, and we have Karun.
Yes,
Karun. Karun, welcome. You can step up to the mic right here. And we were just asking you just a few minutes ago to sort of share something interesting about what you're taking away. And I think you were mentioning the web interface.
Yeah, you had some passion.
The question was, you guys were asking me what I was so excited about yesterday's, you know, tracks I have attended, and I can tell you that web interface, the 6.2, the Dynatrace interface. The reason is we do have multiple tools. We have different all flavors of Dynatrace. We have DC-ROM, GoMass, Dynatrace, UEM, and Synthetics. But we don't have a way to bring all these into a dashboard solution.
Yeah, so you see 6.2 as kind of a glue to bring it all together for you.
It is. I think it is not a glue, but it's organic to 6.2.
Yeah.
But the functionality they developed is going to enable us to bring other metrics into place through iframe. That's what I heard.
Okay.
And interface is very cool. Actually, looks good compared to the out-of-the-box Dynatrace dashboard. So that kind of excited me. You know, I was talking to my guardians. And saying, hey, we need to go and, you know, update our version to 6.2. So
very cool. Now, had you used the older web interfaces from, say, 5.5 or anything like that?
Yeah,
tried to use them?
We have all flavors from 5.6 through.
And they were a little bit more cumbersome, the older versions that were in them. I mean, they were still good as a web interface to make it portable in a browser. But what about the new 6.2 do you think is going to be better?
Points. One is the look of it.
Yeah.
And the next is the ability for it to integrate other metrics coming from Synthetics, directly DC-ROM. And they are also talking about any third-party metrics, like, you know, Tivoli's and Royalties through an iPhone.
Yeah, I noticed we have some third parties here, Ixias, Splunk, to be able to roll up that data, potentially.
Yeah. So I have to see that, but that's what I heard. That's excited me.
Yeah, that could be very cool. Do you use any of the REST interfaces to get data in and out of Dynatrace?
I believe so. I'm not an architect. I don't know the entire details. But yes, we do.
That's an interesting development. Also, in 6.2 is much nicer to access. It's much easier to use the REST interface, I think. I mean, if you know how to program REST. But there's the data that's available is easier to get in and out, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's very awesome. Now, as you know, we are giving away things to folks that will stop by and chat with us and share their testimonial. So we give away, you're definitely going to take a PerfBytes stopwatch. So please take a PerfBytes stopwatch here.
All right, thank you.
And is there anyone in your organization who's not measuring performance? Maybe a marketing person?
No, in fact, they are our customers.
They're
the consumers. So we are the one who are going to them and talking about the performance of the applications.
How about functional testers?
We are starting our journey, you know, to integrate into the development team through an app DevOps team.
Okay.
So the goal is really to go sit with them and make sure when they're developing, they consider the performance, you know, as a part of their development.
Yes.
So that is our next journey. That's really something we need to take it further because, you know, that is
one thing that you may want to watch out for, and we see this in a lot of DevOps environments, is that as you expand responsibility for the development teams, their bandwidth is already fairly limited. You may need to look at a squad-type model where you assign one person to just performance. And so they can back check everybody's code, or they can be the one charged with the continuous integration with Dynatrace tools, yeah, or to collect performance metrics and do the analysis. And that way you're not oversaturating the dev team, because the developers will say, hey, yeah, we want functional, we want performance, we want to take ownership of all of it. But as we all know, development is always pressed for time and resources already. So I see that as a common challenge.
Yeah, that's called co-location. Somebody from our team has to go attend the scrums,
yeah,
mm-hmm, and be a part of the team.
Like an advisor.
Yeah. Actually, really deep integrated into the team, but from performance side. You know, that's the idea behind having a representation from my team to the developer's team.
Yes,
but we have to start implementing that.
Oh, excellent.
Great. Good. Great. Karun, thank you very much for sharing the story here.
And please, you could take a
absolutely
jolt here. And don't forget,
okay,
you're not going to take a... No, because you're going to use real tools to measure performance,
right,
not a stopwatch.
Yes.
good on you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
All right, James. So we're still looking for other folks to share. That was a really nice story.
I think
Laura. Laura's here. Laura Stack.
Oh, goodness. I was actually just coming to steal a jolt. I can talk and then I can get one?
Yeah, we're only giving them away if somebody contributes something. So first of all,
ask me anything.
As our sponsor and bringing Perk Bites, thank you very much for bringing us to Dynatrace.
Thank you for coming.
It's been really awesome. And if there's something you would tell the Perk Bites listeners from your observation of us, what do you think?
That you guys are doing a great job. You know a lot about performance,
and
customers
nice
really like to talk to you. Oh, you're very nice.
Very
yes,
nice.
Very
and
outgoing.
And we're taller in person than in our pictures, and
taller
we all
and
have,
more handsome in person. Yes,
and we have good hair.
You wouldn't believe it. Great hair. You should see the hair on these guys. I mean, they do not have faces for radio at all. They should be out somewhere on TV.
You know, there is a video team going around.
They should be on the video the entire time. Yes.
In front of the camera, not
absolutely.
So marvelous. We are getting some good testimonials from folks today. We had a really nice one just now. Actually, we're going to get Steve Filoni to come over and talk about his product, actually, which would be cool.
Where is he? Oh.
He's just wandering away in a jacket.
Uh-oh. He's in a jacket.
You want me to go chase him down?
No, you have clout. You could go in.
Yeah, I'll go chase him down. Just so I...
So, actually, Laura, so you were kind of the primary PM for all of Perform 2015, right?
Yes.
You're like...
Don't quiz me on products, but you can quiz me on the event. Ask me anything about Perform.
Okay. How many people are here?
Almost 1,000 people we had here this year.
And this is an uptick.
Oh, yes. About 50% uptick from last year.
Fantastic.
Yep.
I have to say, we did the Puzzler session yesterday, and Andy and I have never done a Puzzler session that was that big and that intense. So
how many people were in there?
Almost the full room. I mean, almost every seat.
It's because of you.
It had to be 100 people.
They saw your name.
So you have 1,000 performance-focused people here.
Yes.
And we haven't burned down the hotel.
Not yet. I mean, we still have tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
But not yet.
Still going.
Yes.
So, yeah, this is a great success. We actually chatted with your CEO and last night, which was pretty cool.
I like that.
He's a nice guy, and he thanked us for coming and supporting, and obviously it was an honor. But we gave you a plug because we said, you know, working with Laura was awesome. She does a great job. So just, you know, just saying.
I'm hoping you're being truthful, and I enjoy that. Thank you. And you'll be back next year.
We will do next year.
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Yes, this is a great addition to Perform.
Yeah, and we've got people tweeting as well. So
good. Yes, this is a great addition. Thanks a lot for coming.
No, you're really just you're on the microphone with us right now just to get one of the giveaways, right?
I felt pressured because you put the microphone down to my level, which is about 4'2", and now no one else will fit at it. So, yes, I felt very pressured to be here.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very
much.
I'm
just in the background. That's my job.
That's right.
I just make sure you guys are happy.
Everyone
I'm your handlers.
Yes, there you go.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for everything, actually.
It'll never forgive either of you for that.
That was beautiful, though. All right, so that's our main sponsor at Perform, and she does a marvelous job.
Yes. She was great on microphone, but I think we're going to pay for that later, Mark.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It was still pretty cool. So, again, here we are hanging out in between. There should be a break happening somewhere around now. It's just after 10 o'clock, and so folks will be kind of coming out of the main session here. The other thing we'll probably mention is about the partner ecosystem. Now, we only have Ixia and Splunk here, but there's a greater partner ecosystem, I think, in the Dynatrace world.
I think there are some other partners hanging around as attendees.
Yeah.
But very few actually have kiosks and shows going on.
Yeah.
As a part of the event.
Exactly. So it's pretty cool.
Ixia was giving away a folding bicycle.
A folding bicycle?
Yeah. It's kind of cool. It's kind of this triangle thing that you folded up and it had
You know them. Belt. You see them hit the end of an iteration and they just plain ran out of time for performance testing. You hear them convincing the VP of development to just fire all the testers. You see some other kids aren't testing at all. And you see the cool kids, well, you know, they're testing in prod. It can be tough under all that peer pressure just because you want to be cool too. But being cool isn't as important as it seems. PerfBytes encourages you to keep your own commitment to quality steadfast and not give in to those trendy, cool hipsters who don't know how to test, and who, by the way, don't pay for what happens in prod. Stand your ground against emergency promotions and too fast releases directly to production without any testing whatsoever. Know that PerfBytes supports you because friends don't let friends deploy without testing.
All of the attendees are coming out of the main session. Maybe somebody will tell us what they learned in the main session, which would be kind of awesome.
Notice Derek Berger is walking away from us.
Yeah, no, he's on his way, making his way. We are taking testimonials from folks and giving away Jules, the battery thing, the Dynatrace battery thing. Do you want to tell us how the main stage session was? Anyone?
No.
Yeah, they're very busy. They only have maybe a few minutes to get to the restroom. It's kind of
and get to their next event. We'll see who we can collect.
Hi, would you like to have a giveaway?
Sure.
If you can, we're giving away stuff. Tell us what you just learned in the main stage there. What was the message?
I learned about how you can integrate Ruxit and Dynatrace and how they're not actually different, but they all work together.
Okay. In what way? Just data-wise, or
so that the Ruxit agent can actually detect the Dynatrace agent.
Okay.
Which I didn't realize.
So you get the Ruxit visualization with the Dynatrace common agent.
So you could use Ruxit to start, and then you can dig down and use the Dynatrace agent information if you need it.
Oh, that's very cool.
That is very cool. I think it's fairly new. So you already have a Dynatrace installed and everything?
Yeah, we have the Dynatrace agent running, but I don't know. I've heard of Ruxit, but I didn't really know what it was until today.
That's pretty cool. And now, had you seen Ruxit before?
I saw it yesterday briefly, but I just didn't know what it was.
Didn't know what it was. Now you got it. There's a whole demo station they're doing down the other end.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out shortly.
That'll be very, very cool. Awesome. Well, Stefan, you've won a PerfBytes watch and also a Dynatrace battery for your USB. You need one of these? Everybody needs one of these.
I do, especially today.
Exactly. You're going to run out of battery juice. And then have a PerfBytes stopwatch. Just in case you don't have Dynatrace with you and you want to measure performance of anything, there you have it.
Or if you have someone that complains, I don't time anything or I don't collect any data, now they have no excuse.
I can show them.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Stefan.
Enjoy the show,
man. Awesome. Hey, there you go. Now we're...
That was Stefan.
Stefan or Stefan? Stefan, maybe. At the same time, another person bringing up Ruxit.
Yes.
We're going to have to go...
That seems to be a trend here at the show.
People could get confused. Are you Ruxit or are you Dynatrace? Is Ruxit Dynatrace? I understood it that Ruxit was sort of this internal startup, creative, almost like a research arm that is doing the bleeding cutting edge kind of stuff. That's what I understood anyway. But they're giving demos, and the Ruxit team is here.
Down at the other end of
You know who could session. Really, really clarify some of that for us?
We'd probably have to go find somebody.
Mr. Filoni might be able to do that.
Well, he's working in a different capacity, this digital digital performance something, DP something experience.
And for our listeners, that would be Steve Filoni, formerly of of HP.
HP Performance Center. Mercury, actually.
Yeah, Mercury. That. You know, there's exactly a bunch, right. bunch of ex-Mercury people here.
This is pretty awesome. So again, just to remind people, if they don't know what the heck they're listening to, we are at the Dynatrace Perform 2015 conference in lovely
Orlando, Florida.
Yes, it's beautiful. So it's day two. Last night we did a whole show that turned out to just be success stories or war stories from the trenches of performance from people's careers. And we gave away two pairs of shoes.
Yep.
That was very exciting. Very exciting. So you can go back and listen to the episode. We'll do some editing in that. But so that was really fun last night. Oh, there's Sonia.
Hello, Sonia.
Let's see.
I see a whole contingent of people here from the Great Northwest.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can't you tell? They have that hipster look with the cool beards and stuff.
Yeah. I will tell you, I have a testimonial from the people who attended my load test workshop.
Yeah?
That they obviously, I'll be very honest, they know more about Dynatrace than I did.
Yep.
And so they were taking me through all sorts of infrastructure monitoring dashboards and drilling down at some of the more monitoring overviews. Those were pretty awesome. Like, I'd usually drill down into other dashlets that I know, but just the overview boards are actually really, really great in 6.2.
So, Mark, thereupon, you've crossed the boundary there between what to look at versus how to look at it.
Oh.
You know, the mechanical skills versus the analytical skills. So you have these mechanical skills on the tools, how to use the tools, how to go in and examine portions of the infrastructure. And then you had your class, which was the performance puzzles,
right.
which is teaching you more what to look at, what questions to ask, and then you've got the tools to help answer those questions.
Synthesis.
So it was a nice compliment in that sense.
All right.
And I think that's why we're getting such good feedback on your class, is you're teaching people how to think and how to ask questions,
and then the
tools assist in that mission.
Yeah, I think that's very kind of you to say that. Now, the other question is because we're getting such good feedback on puzzlers.
I see. Hipsters.
Maybe we'll add the puzzler as a Perf Byte segment, and we could start doing regular just like Tom and Ray Malianti in the.
Will they be upset if we do that?
We could, as an homage, I think.
We could do it as
an
homage.
In honor of.
Yeah.
And it would be IT specific, where they used
to
do puzzlers.
Yeah, they have car puzzlers.
And they did weird mathematical puzzles, and they did things that were non-automotive. I don't know that we would, and we'll just make a rule. We'll never do an automotive,
and we'll never do a puzzler that involves something called a euphonium.
A euphonium, a double belled euphonium.
Yes. That's a shout out to my relatives in the great states of Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Klaus.
I'll see you in a minute.
You're gonna come to
a session.
He has a session. You did just say hi.
Hi.
Klaus.
I'm Klaus.
Why were you?
And I'm going to an awesome, ridiculously awesome session that starts now, together with SiriusXM. You know this?
Yeah,
SiriusXM.
Satellite radio thing.
I love SiriusXM.
Are you using it?
I have it in my vehicle for 130,000 miles. I live with it. I love it.
I wanted to ask you again, Ellie, who was on our panel yesterday, who was her part? Richard was the
Don,
yeah, and they were from Nordstrom.
No. Graybar.
From Graybar. So we have to. They had some great stuff. A marketing person uses a Dynatrace dashboard.
That's unbelievable.
So after your event, bring the SiriusXM host down here, and we'll chat.
Yeah, I will bring them along.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Off you go. That's Klaus. See you, Klaus. There we go.
I'm connected to a couple people at SiriusXM.
Well, we're
on LinkedIn.
SiriusXM customers.
Yeah, so I'm connected
Volkswagen
to some
customers, and Volkswagen's here, and then there's SiriusXM.
No, there's a performance group at SiriusXM. I'm connected to a couple of those people.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, so I'm wondering who's here.
And Panera Bread is here.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. We are connected. This is the hive of performance. This is our tribe of performance people. Very nice. All right, James. So this is our break, the first break of the day, on day two of Dynatrace Perform. Why don't we let folks go, and we'll see them at the lunch break.
That'll work. Hopefully we get a couple of other people stopping by in the meantime.
Sounds good to me. We'll try to get Filoni back over here to talk about his stuff. I think that would be fine. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you on the next break.
Have a good morning.
So, James, here we are at Dynatrace Perform 2015, and we have an opportunity to sit down with one of our the partners that's at the show here with Dynatrace, which is the guys at Splunk. You love Splunk, don't you, James?
I love Splunk.
He loves Splunk.
Yes.
That's great news. Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
It's awesome. So the voice you're hearing right now is Bill Emmett, who's actually the Director of Solutions Marketing for Splunk. Bill, and we go way back, actually, in this weird way.
I know it is. It's only been 10 years since I've seen you.
Something like that. So you were at HP, we crossed paths?
Yes.
In the performance space?
Back in the HP OpenView days.
That's right.
We crossed paths. And
yep.
Since that time, I've been pretty much in the IT operations management area my entire 22-year career.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool when you get to cross paths with people again.
And I think, you remember Shai Malam?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
So Shai and I did some really fun stuff when we were at HP as well, and when he came over, I think he's now at Splunk.
He certainly is at Splunk. He's doing some great work with our Splunk core platform, both the marketing and the product management of it.
Awesome.
It's great.
We had some fun stuff. So just to kind of introduce people who maybe are tuned into what Dynatrace is doing in a performance conference, some people don't know maybe what Splunk is, and the name Splunk doesn't always indicate what it does.
Right.
So give us what's a little primer here. I mean, if people don't know what Splunk is, what is Splunk?
Yeah, let's just start with that. And it is a great question. I am asked that question all the time, especially when I carry my Splunk backpack on a plane or at a conference or what have you.
You're a mountain climbing company, right?
Yeah, I'm a mountain climbing.
Yes. We explore
caves. But what we also do is we provide a platform that allows you to be able to collect, to index, and to analyze your unstructured machine data from a whole range of data sources. And what is machine data?
Yeah.
It's pretty much anything from that's really machine-to-machine communication, whether it's log files that people are looking to mine that otherwise go neglected.
Yeah.
It's information that's being read from a whole range of devices.
Yeah.
Internet of Things is definitely providing a lot of fuel to it. It's the business payload that often exists on top of a lot of transactions that are out there. So machine data can take a lot of forms, but it's often very unstructured and it's different from different sources.
Yeah.
Splunk's magic is being able to make it easy to collect that information. We take an index-based approach. You don't even have to define the data as you're bringing it in.
Cool.
But what you do get is great insightful analytics out of that information presented, whether it's beautiful dashboards, alerts, and often just searches so that you can dig into specific questions and problems that you have and explore your data and find the answers you need.
I know what Mark and I have spoken about often of the use of Splunk is taking advantage of it to analyze HTTP access logs regarding customers coming in, and we're looking for anti-patterns related to performance. Essentially, we're looking for outliers from a caching perspective. We're looking for very expensive requests using the HTTP time taken field.
Yep.
And we roll that up very, very effectively with Splunk. It's a great tool for this because we can look at it across site. We can look at it across servers. We can look for server outliers. So we can look at the same request across multiple servers and see if one server is misbehaving. I think it's a great tool for performance engineering work.
So he loves Splunk.
I could go on for another 10 minutes here, but we only have you for a limited time.
And then there was that time you and Splunk went out to dinner. And
we don't
want to
talk about that.
And then
it was kind of awkward, you know.
I'm glad that you had that experience. It's actually something that a lot of our customers share. In fact, doing a lot of that application management and assuring what's going on is one of the most frequently observed use cases for Splunk.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned machine data. Some people might think that's just hardware. But no, I mean, we're talking it's application logs. So don't get confused.
Sure,
absolutely.
It could be.
It's actually any kind of unstructured, if it spits out some information, even stat information, you can pull it into the index.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I think the elegant thing that you provide and you described briefly was just the idea that you can take these disparate, unstructured, I don't even know what that data is or where it's coming from, but I get a nice query language. Now I have a query language through unstructured data that if as long as I learn kind of that query language, I can get to any of this data in the same way. I don't have to learn 16 different ways to query 16 different sources of something.
Absolutely. And for some of our customers that not only use Splunk for application management and operations management, but maybe they're also using it as the basis for their security incident and event management, doing some business analytics, maybe even analyzing data that's coming off of various kinds of devices. It's the same language, it's the same software, and you really get to leverage your expertise and capability and apply it to multiple use cases.
Cool. Now we're at Dynatrace Performance, so you can imagine, you mentioned the word dashboards. Splunk has a very similar dashboard semantic to its use cases. It's very shareable data in the same way Dynatrace is. Some people might think they're competitors, but actually, if you're working, a lot of customers that have Dynatrace also have Splunk. And here you guys are a partner, a supporter of the community at the event this week.
And I've seen that data kind of go both directions. Dynatrace data being pulled into a Splunk dashboard, and potentially I could see it going the opposite way.
What are you guys seeing now, and what brings Splunk and Dynatrace together in your mind?
Sure. What brings Splunk and Dynatrace together is that Dynatrace provides all kinds of great insight in terms of being able to monitor user experience, identify transaction paths, be able to get a lot of very metric-oriented information. Mm-hmm. What Splunk brings to application management is the ability to complement it on a couple key fronts. First of all, the ability to get some of that unstructured information, often in the form of application logs, that are out there, and being able to bring that in. A lot of people see that as a great way of combining monitoring with troubleshooting.
Right.
The second thing that also happens is when you look at why applications fail, about half the time it's bad application code. The other half of the time it's some of the underlying infrastructure that isn't configured the way that it should be configured. Okay. And with Splunk, people have the visibility to look really in depth throughout the various silos that they have, from networks to systems, web servers, app servers, message buses, databases, all these very disparate data sources. Get the machine data from that information, bring it together, and really widen our view for where do problems exist and why, and what specifically is the source of that problem.
It's a big part of the why. You don't have a performance anti-pattern or a bad code like you mentioned, but let's look first. You're just have a misconfiguration, throw in an exception.
Yes.
It's like, am I going to really go bother all the app devs with a bug and a loop? And you know what? It's a configuration tick, tick. And we're off to the races. So bringing the data together gives you that.
And here's where the semantic logging really pays off, where we have taken advantage of structured logging models coming through development, where we're putting out, say, an object identifier in every log on every tier. We can follow the performance using Splunk. We can look for that particular object ID and see how far it got through the infrastructure or where
like
the delay is in the infrastructure as a correlating ID. It really helps to speed that resolution time.
Yeah, that's spot on, James. And I definitely recommend semantic logging as one of the best practices for application developers to be able to really see what's going on in their applications. You know, whether it's in QA mode, whether you're in production, it's a very important thing to have.
So, Bill, what else is kind of exciting for Splunk? I mean, even if it's beyond Dynatrace, where are you guys headed? We hear a lot about Ruxit here, which is sort of the future in a different kind of a position. What's happening at Splunk that people would be interested to go even beyond the Dynatrace part of it?
Yeah, there's a couple things that I think are pretty exciting. First of all, one of the things that we've been doing is we've been taking some really significant steps towards Splunk's always been known as getting up and running easily.
Yeah.
What we've also added to it is putting a lot more service context around all the things that you're Splunking, whether it's systems, networks, applications, really helping you being able to bring that together into things like service models, KPIs,
okay,
and making that beautiful and easy to see. And so we've recently introduced Splunk IT Service Intelligence, which provides a layer of service and KPI visibility on top of all of this machine data that you're collecting,
right,
to really help you get great summarized views, and also being able to drill down to where problems really are and where they're affecting KPIs that you care about.
Very interesting.
So that's one thing that we're doing. The second thing that we've been on a very steady march on is around being able to make Splunk available, not just on-premise through Splunk Enterprise,
yep,
but also being able to make it available for people that want to use it in a SaaS-based capacity. And
great,
for that, we have Splunk.
James is raising his hand.
I are one of those customers.
Excellent.
Yes.
And for that, we have Splunk Cloud.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I've noticed considerable improvements over the last couple of releases in the dashboarding model, scheduling, being able to push that information out on a regular basis. And I've been impressed with the extension and the number of applications that run on top of Splunk as well,
yeah,
from third parties.
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the things is there's over 800 apps that are in our Splunk base. You could think of that as our app store for all these various apps out there. One of them, by the way, no surprise here at this conference, is the Dynatrace app, by
yep,
the way, has nearly 1,500 downloads there. So that's, you know, we're seeing a lot of Dynatrace users taking that app, putting it on top of Splunk, and being able to more immediately make use of data that they're pulling from Dynatrace into Splunk.
Yep.
Fantastic.
I see that.
That is really, really cool. Now, the other thing, I just want to mention the cloud. If you mention cloud, it's also the portability of the information and accessing Splunk. You don't have to be sitting at a desktop. There's Splunk Mobile, right? So you can get in and access all sorts of this stuff from wherever you are.
Definitely. And the other thing, too, with cloud is just that time to get it up and running. And, you know, it's really just you can get that sandbox environment and try it out for yourself in just a few clicks. It's really cool.
Awesome. So, Bill, thank you for chatting with us. Where can people can obviously go to the website, but what else should they tune in to get more information? How can they do that?
Yeah, there's a few things. First of all, start at Splunk.com, and there I definitely encourage you to learn about Splunk by really trying it out. Download Splunk Enterprise, or you can start a sandbox instance of Splunk Cloud. Both of them take just a few clicks. You get it up and running in a matter of minutes. Very easy to get started. Some wonderful tutorial videos along the way as well. So really cool stuff. The other thing, too, that we would love for people to do is also learn about our latest release of Splunk Enterprise and Splunk Cloud.
Yeah.
We have great new capabilities on it, and one of which I think is really exciting here for our developer audience here at Dynatrace,
yeah,
is now we've made it so easy to get data into Splunk. You can forward that data directly via HTTP to your Splunk instance. You don't even need a Splunk forwarder where that application,
ooh,
or something lives, and it makes it very easy to bring that information over. So lots of great stuff to look at.
Very awesome. Bill Emmett, thank you very much for joining us.
Hey,
thank you,
Mark,
sir.
Thank you very much.
Great.
James, thank you, too.
Cool. All right. Awesome. Welcome back, everybody. We are at Dynatrace Perform 2015 in lovely Orlando, and we have the pleasure of actually talking to Klaus. Thank you for hosting the panel. Klaus, I was on the panel yesterday with you.
Yeah, thanks for joining me on the panel.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was quite awesome.
Yeah. A lot of interesting stories.
I know. At the same time, you just had a session together with Gary from SiriusXM. Gary, welcome to Perf Bites.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Gary, what made you want to actually share this story that was sensational, what was happening at SiriusXM?
Well, you know, so Klaus came to us with an opportunity to do something, you know, really, really early on, you know, for that's coming up for the new version, called it Purelytics Stream.
Uh-huh.
And it was something that, you know, hit right at home for us because it was a way to get more insight into the UEM data that we're capturing.
Cool.
With Dynatrace, and get more insights into what our customers are doing and what, you know, maybe what kind of problems they're facing and, you know, how they're using our streaming application.
Right.
And speaking of customers, I think you have two of them right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're both SiriusXM customers.
Perfect. You listen in the car or
everywhere
the car
streaming.
Do you use the streaming app as well?
On Roku, on my iPhone, everything, everywhere.
Great.
Yeah.
To hear.
Really awesome.
And when I started with the company about 12 years ago, you know, it wouldn't, this wouldn't happen, right? I wouldn't be able to meet anybody that, that uses our product. Are they who? Serious? Who? What do you do?
Is it, are you really serious?
Yeah.
No, you're not serious. You probably get that all the time. But it is. It's an awesome product. But it's got to be. How does it compare? Like in terms of being a streaming media provider, entertainment media provider. You guys are the largest in the world.
Well,
think about it that way.
We're certainly, you know, certainly the largest satellite radio provider. That's
right,
that's of course. And the streaming portion of it is a more of an emerging area for us.
Right.
But we're completely subscription based. We don't have the free offerings like a lot of the other streaming competitors do.
That's right.
So our business model is a little bit different than that. We want it to be giving a premium service. But we have several million subscribers that are using the streaming application, and they're all paying subscribers.
Yeah, yeah.
And many of them are also paying for the satellite radio subscription as well. So.
Right, exactly.
We've done a couple of broadcasts on the challenges regarding streaming media, and certainly satellite versus terrestrial in this sense is quite different. I mean, satellite is one uplink. It's multicast essentially.
Yeah.
On the terrestrial side of the house, through the network, are you still employing a multicast model for subscribe stream, or is it unicast, subscriber to host, as a part of your delivery model? I'm just curious at that.
On the streaming side.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really a dedicated stream. I mean, it's a unicast stream for each.
So it's a unicast stream for each
subscriber. Yeah. So.
Interesting. Now, before we dig too deep into this, Klaus, you were obviously interested enough in what these guys are doing to bring him in. So what sparked you for this session for learning?
Yeah, actually, the reason why I asked Gary was I helped him a little bit during the implementation on the mobile apps, so iOS, Android, and a website, because the technologies they are using is quite interesting. It's all the new hot shit. Single page load apps, Angular, these guys are using it.
That's very cool. So a couple examples, maybe. Is he right? I mean,
we employed AngularJS for our web application. We were using the ADKs for the mobile applications as well. And doing a lot of our own tagging of events within the app as well, not just taking what is built in, but also going in and custom tagging so we can get a lot more insight into what the users are doing.
Yeah.
Other technologies we have, we're using Nginx as well. I think when we initially started with Dynatrace, we had to be on the beta for Nginx because it was still brand new.
Yeah,
so.
It's now in the Easy Travel 6.2 actually has the Nginx on the Ubuntu
right.
The Linux version. Right away.
It's there.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Very cool.
And the second point, not only the new hot stuff, but Gary during a WebEx just showed me an Excel spreadsheet. I saw there a column Omniture. I figured out, hey, come on. Are you trying to replace Omniture? Why are all these Omniture things in there? Like all the steps from Omniture.
Yeah, right.
So you're thinking duplicate, triplicate of data. Why can't we get it from one source? Maybe cut the cost down a little bit?
Right. I think that was what Gary expected, right?
Well, that was certainly one of the big advantages for us that we were looking for. Whole new platform we launched earlier this year for the streaming application, and traditionally we had been using Omniture to capture data, analytics data, but we didn't want to have multiple tags in there, multiple SDKs floating around our application.
Yep.
So that was one of the attractive things for Dynatrace, was that we had one-stop shop to get our performance and analytics.
And in some ways, you have 100% control of the data, and it's as it comes into a single repository. Did it take some time to bring these things over? Or you still have a couple different?
It was still a work in progress. Bringing things in. We didn't have nearly as much coverage as we're trying to put in now. So with Omniture, we had a few different things that were interesting for the business, but we didn't have as much. scope as we're looking for right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're pushing it even further.
Yeah, very cool. But I was trying to think what's really cool, at least for this year, from a Dynatrace. What are the things you're picking up from the event today and yesterday? What anything strike you that's like really cool that you'll take back and help change the future of Sirius?
Well, yeah, immediately we're looking to make more use of the web UI.
Yeah,
in the 6.2 release. So there's some cool things there, which we think we can expose more data to our executives and business people.
Okay.
So they can see more things. So that's one big thing we're looking to immediately. And then the whole Ruxit piece is very interesting too, and I'm very interested to see how well that technology is going to make it into Dynatrace.
Yeah.
Because we're actually deployed. Our Dynatrace deployment is in the cloud. How can Ruxit help technology help us? Make that easier, make it simpler to manage going forward. I think that's going to be real interesting.
Yeah, very cool. Everyone loves Ruxit.
And Web UI, about half the people have mentioned Web UI as well.
Three people have mentioned the Web UI stuff, the latest Web UI stuff. So, good on you. That's fantastic.
So we invested in the right things.
Yeah.
We have now the Web UI. We have Ruxit. We are prepared to go to this new audience, the digital performance masters.
Yes,
in the
we
world.
Keep hearing from Steve Filoni, the product manager, director of products over there, doing all sorts of digital performance things. So maybe that will link its way right over to you as well. Awesome. So, any advice to the listeners who are maybe wanting to learn more about streaming performance and things? Like, is there a
and maybe what we should look for from SiriusXM in the coming couple of months?
Well, so to take the first one, advice, I guess. I would say just, lean on these guys from Dynatrace because they're fantastic, right? So, tell them what you want to do and, they'll find a way to get it done for you. So everything that we've been asking for, we see it coming, and it's, either they've been able to give us a solution right away or it's something that's on the roadmap. So,
yeah, very nice.
These guys are great. Come up for us, one of the big areas we're going to be looking into is, you have connected vehicles coming along, right?
Right.
So we're huge in the car for satellite radio, and the convergence of streaming and satellite radio is one of our biggest focus coming up. So
yeah,
so keep an eye out for more cool things, in the vehicle with SiriusXM.
Awesome. Good to hear. Thanks for joining us. This is great. Klaus, thanks for
bringing. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Hello, everybody. We are back live from Perform 2015.
Jay, hey, Mark.
I got to get the levels set here. What are we witnessing right now? This is a final break of Thursday that we have. Everyone's in these breakout sessions. And we are still giving away stopwatches. And we are taking testimonials from people. Actually, who did we offline? We just posted these two interviews with both Splunk.
Yep.
And also with
SiriusXM.
SiriusXM, who did a presentation there with Klaus, which is really awesome. So that one wasn't live just because of the timing.
Yep.
But it's equally exciting.
And one thing that I found.
Syed just walked by, winner of the Perfbytes shoes right there. Pretty awesome. Yeah, see, she's cheering for things. But we're kind of having to wrap up after this last broadcast. We're gonna be moving on. So, James, I just ask you candidly, what are your thoughts so far on even doing an event of this size for Perfbytes?
So, first impressions is I've never seen so many performance-oriented individuals gathered in one place. Even when you go back to the heyday years of the early tool vendors.
Yep.
You had this mix of functional testing, performance testing, monitoring.
It was all
test
the other.
Management. You had all these other things, and performance was a breakout of that. I mean, this seems to be a show solely dedicated to performance around Dynatrace's product line. And I got to tell you, it's really nice.
It is nice. We're with our tribe.
Yeah.
Our kinship.
And in fact, we've run into tribe members that we haven't seen in the better part of a decade or a decade and a half.
Michael, would you like to come give a little testimonial to your experience? Hop on the microphone here. You go ahead. Welcome to Perf Bites. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey there. So I'm Mike Villager. I'm actually a Dynatrace employee.
Oh, that's fine.
But I do have an interesting story because I was a former customer. So this is now my fourth perform.
Seriously?
As long as there has been a perform, I have been attending.
That's pretty cool.
So I was speaking at the first two as a customer,
cool.
You know, testimonial to my story with my, my Dynatrace rollout and all the value that it provided my organization.
Nice.
And then obviously now with the last year and this year as an employee, delivering hot days, having all sorts of really great conversations.
Yes.
So. I obviously can't talk about where I was at before.
That's fine.
But I have a really cool story about how Dynatrace changes lives.
Hey, listen
so,
to
yeah.
Go for it. You're on.
So when I acquired Dynatrace and I saw all the value that it provided, I went out with my hat in hand to three separate teams to fund the purchase.
Right.
So it was a unbudgeted spend. It was a, and we went in with a pretty large environment purchase in order to cover our dev, staging, and prod installations.
So, were those the three teams?
So yeah, the three teams were the R&D team,
yep.
The Performance Center of Excellence, which I was leading,
yep.
And then our production support team.
Cool.
So and basically this rather large unbudgeted spend resulted in me getting two promotions and a bonus.
Now, so your bonus is not in the purchase order though. Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's sort of a different process.
Exactly.
So since you've been to all four performs,
mm-hmm.
can you speak to how it's changed in feeling or energy over the last 4 years?
Yep. So
he's in the middle of his awesome story, though.
Yeah. No, it's totally cool. I can pivot.
We'll
right.
We'll take a tangent and come back.
Yep. Yep. Yes, okay. So, the it continues to expand every year in terms of the number of attendees. Right, and it's a great opportunity to see a lot of familiar faces. So I'm seeing a lot of the same people that I've seen every year.
Yeah.
We continue to share these new stories as the product continues to drive value for us.
Yep.
And obviously all the excitement around the new products that we continue to offer, all the new features that we're developing year after year.
Ruxit.
Yeah, Ruxit, kind of the cool, like what was a shiny sports car, but under a sheet a couple of years ago, it's now out there and all the spotlights are on it, and it's awesome. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, but one of the things that I've seen that's kind of the coolest change is, now we're starting to get more industry speakers and stuff like that coming here. We're
yep.
getting folks like yourself setting up booths and broadcasting, doing your live podcast from our show.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's been really valuable because
cool.
Folks are able to see things that are beyond just fellow customer testimonials.
Yeah.
You know, from a lot of the key customers. Now we're getting all sorts of other industry folks coming in here and giving really great talks. So,
very cool.
And it's actually cool because you can track the sessions to determine what are trends in the marketplace, right? Because, you know, how many tracks did we have about DevOps this year, right? It's front and center in what
yeah.
everybody is doing.
And we have people talking about integrations with continuous delivery, and from that DevOps automation piece was really
yep.
big. We have multiple people talking about just the web the updated web interface in 6.2.
Yep.
Like that's a big deal.
It's yep. cool. Yeah,
yeah.
It's opening the product to a whole new audience.
Yeah.
Right. So it's those folks that are sitting in the corner. Excuse me. It's the folks that are sitting in the corner office. You know, are now, you know, with you know, once they pull the shades so that all that light doesn't wash out their monitor,
yes,
you know, now they're going to be able to look at those dashboards and actually see, you know, hey, what's my customer experience like? What is,
yeah.
you know, how's omnichannel working for my customers, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, so are my mobile folks converting as much as my, browser folks are?
Yeah.
No, one-third as often. Oh, sorry. I thought that was a question. I was just
exactly. All right. So that's awesome. And Laura was here before telling us just like 1,000 people. at Dondre. This is really a huge.
Yeah, it's huge. We're getting bigger and bigger every year. Cool. I've been told that we're nearly at capacity at this location. So, you know, we've pretty much taken the place over. And for anybody who perhaps saw the pictures out on Twitter last night, you That's know, right. the Dynatrace Perform logo was projected on the side of the building last night.
I did see that.
So, yeah, so we literally were taking the whole place over.
That's right. You can't go anywhere with that.
So I interrupted you as you were headed down your story on value. Yeah. Right. So let's come back to that.
Yeah. So
we're real geeks.
Bring things back around again. So the cool thing is so obviously, you know, I originally approached this from the performance engineering side of things, right? So I had a very complex service oriented architecture with many, many, many tiers, okay. Right? Because my architects, they had a you know, an add another layer approach to architecture.
A disease.
If something wasn't working, they added another layer on top of it.
Oh, excellent. Right?
So, you know, we had all sorts of crazy stuff, right? We had HBase, we had Memcache, we had Couchbase, we had ALSB. I mean, we had like every acronym and buzzword at the time.
Some Hibernate over here.
Exactly. It was
but
all
you know what?
There.
Those developers' resumes look spectacular.
They have I know all these technologies.
Yes.
I actually only wrote 3 lines of code.
Yeah, well, you can't see me waving my hands in the podcast world, but I'm definitely moving my hands and shrugging. Yeah. So obviously before I had Dynatrace, my performance testing cycles were extremely long.
Yeah.
Right? Because in order to understand the performance of all of those tiers, I had to start at the bottom layer and then move my way up.
Record a different kind of script.
Exactly. Exactly. So I had to understand the behavior of each tier in isolation if I could. Yep. And if I couldn't, I had to keep adding the tiers on top of each other.
Right.
And then once I rolled out Dynatrace, then I was able to actually just hit the whole thing once, and then Dynatrace was going to tell me where the problems were.
When you started doing load testing with Dynatrace, what was the first dashlet that got you, that's it?
So for me, it was method hotspots. Method hotspots actually showing me, you know, where things were by tier, by API.
Yeah.
That was huge for our team.
Okay.
And, you know, we Some of which were almost named after the person that was responsible for them, so you could see
tag it back to them.
We don't do finger pointing, but we do finger pointing.
But like in with astronomy in science, like they'll name the planet after you, or some anomaly like the pulley villager effect.
Yes,
like you'll get scientifically named the Gilbert Elliot
effect. You know what's going to happen is you're going to get brain eating aliens showing up from Kepler 182, and the whole Kepler family is going to be cursed forever.
I want to see who owns Tomlinson 433. Yes, exactly. So that's you're naming them the
yep.
The Sanjay 436. We're going to track you now, brother.
Yep. So and the deep visibility that you get actually allows you to solve some really interesting and esoteric problems.
Yeah.
So I had an architect came to me and said, "Hey, we're going to add five key value pairs to what we were logging." Right?
Okay.
And he said, "I want to know what the impact of that is."
Thank you. Good.
Right?
Yeah.
So drop a sensor on the log method, do a before test and do an after test. And I was able to demonstrate that by adding those 5 fields, they were adding 0.3 of a millisecond to a request.
That granular.
That it was that granular of information.
That's pretty awesome.
Right?
If you're on the appender, absolutely.
Yep. Yep. So, that basically, you know, okay, guys, add as many fields as you want because it looks like you're okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate you asking that question and running through this.
I'm
glad we took that exercise because oftentimes they just add it and they don't tell me until I see later. Yeah. But
and the next time they do add something that really would be an issue, you've built a relationship with them. That's a beautiful thing.
Yep. And then you're seeing it, you know, like when we start talking about CI/CD.
Yeah.
Right. So when you're using Dynatrace or, you know, in the unit test framework to actually catch those architectural regressions, I don't have as much garbage getting, you know, kicked over the fence to run those, you know, what can be even nowadays still somewhat lengthy performance tests, you know, usually a couple hours apiece.
Yep.
Right.
Much bigger in scope.
Exactly. But now, you know, I've had so many situations in the past where a build was kicked over to me, and even as I'm scripting,
there's functional defects.
Well, even in a single user scripting environment, I'm like, okay, this transaction is taking 12 seconds, and your requirement is 120 milliseconds.
Yeah.
And I go back and ask them, like, what's up with that? And they're like, oh, well, we thought it would work better in stage. Like, no.
You have more hardware, it must be hardware bound.
Exactly. No. So, you know, when you have Dynatrace looped into that CI/CD pipeline, you can avoid wasting everybody's time down the chain with builds that shouldn't have even moved into that.
Were you at the point of setting automated rules on propagation to the build? For if it didn't hit this particular number in Dynatrace,
that's the end state. The end state is that you incorporate the APM metrics into your build promotions.
Yep.
Right. That is the end state where everybody needs to be. So the interesting thing is I don't remember who said this, but somebody was basically saying that. You know, everybody that's doing technology, especially in the Bay Area, always likes to think they're changing the world.
Oh, yes.
Right?
And no one has ever done this before.
Yeah, and these grandiose kind of like fluff pieces. Like if you actually go and look at the page for Pied Piper from HBO Silicon Valley, if you look at the page, that's a very good, you know, example of obviously a humorous one, but it's an example of what people think that they're doing.
Yes, hyperbole.
Yeah. So, you know, people say that doing DevOps is the humane thing to do, that it's inhumane to not do DevOps.
Well, there's a reason not to do it right there. In my book.
Yeah. So well, obviously that notwithstanding.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you look at some of our messaging here, like, you know, the War Room Peacemaker and things like that. To do DevOps without Dynatrace is the inhumane thing to do.
There you go.
Okay.
So you can quote me on that one.
No, you just did, which is not really a quote because it was you.
Okay. Yeah. So
I could quote yourself now if you'd have to repeat it later. But yes.
Yeah.
Yes. If not doing DevOps is humane, not doing DevOps with Dynatrace is super punishment.
Yes.
Sorry.
It took me a second because we talked in the circle there a little bit. So it's not doing DevOps is inhumane.
Yes.
Doing DevOps without Dynatrace is inhumane.
So the humane thing to do,
the way to change the planet, all right,
change the planet.
All right.
Are we going to make Pluto a planet again? That's all I want to know.
Okay. I think we confused everyone that would be listening.
Yes.
That's what I like to do.
But I got it. All right, Mike. Thank you very much. We have a stopwatch for him. A stopwatch for you.
All right.
Now, it's a PerfByte stopwatch. It's lightweight, easy to travel. Functions like a basic down to the hundredth of a millisecond.
Fantastic.
But it's the ancient school way of measuring performance. So if you find somebody like...
to take Dynatrace to the track.
Yeah, is there an API? Can I actually integrate this with my CI/CD pipeline?
It is REST-based because you can just sit down.
And I can rest on it?
Rest on it, yeah. Probably. But
how many puns can we throw in the one conversation?
I have no idea. So give it to somebody who's not doing performance measurement.
Okay.
And tell them they have no excuse left.
Okay.
So they have Dynatrace or they can do it manually.
Okay. So maybe I can give it to my wife so that she can not time how long it takes me to do all the honeydew things around the house.
Right? That might be a bad idea.
Then don't go there. try to keep your personal life separate from the stress.
Okay. All right.
Very, very good. Mike, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, thanks for letting me chat with you guys.
Beautiful. All right, and then send someone else over here. Everyone's getting ready to go in. Now, there's a big thing happening in the room, it seems, right next door here, as we start to wrap things up.
I guess we have one final breakout session.
Take a look here.
I just saw the CEO of Dynatrace heading in.
Yeah. Yes. Here at 310. So next are going to be... It's how to successfully navigate digital transformation with Brian Davis, head of cloud engineering, Dynatrace in the Cloud. That's at 310, coming up in just a few minutes. But we are going to take this moment to usher people into that room and then sign ourselves off.
And there they go.
There they go.
They're off.
Good luck. Enjoy. Bye.
Bye. They're going to have a good time. But, you know, I've also noticed that people here, they don't stop talking.
No, no, they don't.
It is nonstop collaboration. These people are passionately conferring.
I don't know how many people have run out of cards here, but I'm betting it's a fair amount.
It's a fair amount, and there they are. They go right on in there. So we're going to give our special thanks to Laura and the Dynatrace crew for having us here.
Absolutely.
We'll give a shout-out to our
partners. It's been a joy to be here. I mean, it's been very invigorating from a performance engineering perspective, the number of performance engineers, newly minted, new friends, old friends we've run into. It's been a great show, I think.
Reminds me of the old days, a little wistful, kind of the energy of a Mercury conference. It's not too big, not too small.
Actually, I think the energy is completely different.
You do?
Because of the total focus on performance.
That's true. No, I get your previous comment. I don't disagree with that. So any closing thoughts? We've already had a lot of closing thoughts.
Closing thoughts.
You're going to drive. You're headed driving north after this.
I'm driving north.
Yeah.
I'm glad my cold has subsided that I had for the last few days. So apologies to everyone on the radio who was dealing with my gravelly voice. I'd say if you're a Dynatrace customer, definitely come to the Perform 2016 next year, wherever it's going to be located. I think you'll get a lot of value out of it. I didn't have a chance to attend very many sessions, so most of the information I was getting was through osmosis, secondhand through people that have come to our booth, friends that I know that I've had sidebar chats with and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But I get the impression it was just an outstanding conference.
Yeah. I get that the Austrians are a little crazy. That was the main takeaway for me. It's like
the
our
Austrian's
good friend Andy
a little crazy.
Gets us here, and then he introduces us to all these other people from Austria.
And then he disappears.
Well, he is a very busy guy, you know, in that. But for Harold, who was with us, and Mike McCall and Torsten. Oh, we should say thank you to Sonia. Sonia did a stellar job for us. But if you have considered going to a performance conference, we're strong supporters of the SDPCon, but I got to say, just for performance, if you don't do any other kinds of testing, this is one that you should put on your list. Velocity, oddly, at the same time during this week was going on, but it's a different kind of conference.
It's a different vibe. It's more open source.
Yep.
It's build it yourself.
And it might be more marketing and evangelism and other kinds of things.
Yeah, and also if you look at STPCon, if you did a contrast, it's going to be more process, more tool agnosticism in that case.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're complementary shows in that sense.
Yeah. Really awesome. So, James, thanks for joining with us. We'll give a shout-out to our friend Howard, who's not with us once again.
Howard!
We did miss you, Howie. That's
Mr. Choiny.
You want to take a minute to chat with us?
Sure.
We're just getting to wrap up stuff.
Oh, good. That'll be perfect.
You're helping us close the door here.
So
James.
Yeah.
Davis. Introduce yourself.
James Davis.
By the way, he's headed to Whopper next week.
I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
It's going to be really nice.
Hopefully. Right. Yeah.
Now you said that, you had an awesome story
for our listeners. Whopper is
so.
The workshop on performance and reliability.
Yes. He's going to share a performance story, dude. And you're going to love this.
This is a good one. Yeah, I agree. So, you know, we're a retail organization. We have about 1,100 stores, and we have an internal portal that people use, you know, so check times and, you know, what's in the news, that kind of stuff internally.
Yep.
Well, it's used by about 50,000 people or so, give or take in a day.
Yeah.
And we support it with 16 JVMs. Not a whole lot, but still. Well, the internal portal team, they came to us one day and said, hey, look, we have a problem. One of our JVMs is just spiking. Like 200-something requests a second. What's going on? So we tried to look into it.
What was the normal traffic?
Oh, normal? Yeah, let's just say, 40 per second per JVM. Yeah, something. Yeah.
So
something.
It's like tripling, quadrupling.
It's way, 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 way off the rails.
Wow.
Yeah, it shouldn't be there. And it's also flat. So it hits up to 200-something a second. It's flat, and, of course, the JVM itself is close to 100%.
Yeah.
And that JVM.
So any particular day or time? Or?
No, it was just random. I mean, random. It would last for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. There's no way to really know.
Yeah.
We set up alerts to figure it out, to catch it when it did.
Yeah.
Because we go back post-mortem and look at it, and we didn't really know. Yeah. So we caught these alerts, and once we caught them, we said, okay, let's take a look at the traffic, what's coming across. So I noticed it was all the same page the whole time. It was, you know, thousands of the calls as one page.
Yeah.
And why would that be? You know, I don't know. And so we started asking, like, is there some type of weird retry logic on your page?
Meta refresh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, was there something like getting into an infinite loop?
Yeah.
So it does happen. So we looked into that, and there's nothing. There's no refer, redirects. No, there's nothing on that page. So we started looking into it, and all of those come from one IP address.
So it's a DOS attack, then?
Yeah. Well, I mean, from inside. Yeah, it was from inside the store. So we,
your own employee is tossing.
Yeah. So some kids out there bagging groceries and then going in and trying to kill, you know, the main server. So.
Well, yeah. Everybody needs to improve their capabilities in life.
Might just Absolutely. Be practicing. Not a
yeah,
real boss,
no,
you know?
I mean, maybe he's a college student. Who knows?
Some people hire security teams to come in and do that kind of
stuff. Yeah, we used to have one that did that. They went out to stores and everything. Yeah. But so, you know, we were looking
this
at it.
Not
like,
that.
No, not in this case. And it was weird. You know, sometimes it would be like noon. Sometimes it would be like 6 o'clock, which didn't make a lot of sense to us. Why would it happen like that? So as we kept looking into it, again, it was all the same IP address. So what we did was we looked up that IP address. And we just did a reverse lookup on it. And our workstations are named very commonly, you know, like a 96 workstation or something like that.
Right, right, right.
So it just means it's in a specific area in the store. Well, one of the guys that works on the team came from the store. A lot of our associates come from the store.
He knew the
And he kind of knew,
the,
yeah, he
location.
Knew the areas. Yeah, and he's like, oh, hey, I know that desk. He's like, that's in the back. That's a back office. It's kind of a short desk. I was like, okay. And he's like, yeah. He's like, well, so maybe we should call him and find out what's going on.
Yeah.
So... He called them, and the people was like, oh, yeah, well, we're at lunch right now. You know, nobody's back there. Like, well, somebody's back there. Cause
somebody's back there.
Because we found it at that same exact time. And they said, well, somebody's back there. They're hammering on it. What's going on?
Yeah.
Well, they go back there, and they said, oh, well, the keyboard is flipped up, so we flipped it down. And as soon as they told us that, all the numbers just dropped down to nothing. So on that workstation, there's a key. There's a key to lock the keyboard, old school. Yeah, and they flipped up the thing to eat their lunch or whatever they were doing, and it was just hitting that key, and it was just mashing down that F5 key.
I love it.
And we did fix it. So what we did, I think we were discussing that earlier.
Yeah.
One of the things that we did to fix it was we added jQuery to capture that F5 key.
Yeah.
And we slowed the refresh rate down, so it would put a delay in. So F5 would happen, and it would put a delay of about 100, 200 milliseconds, and that was it.
You're the man.
Nice.
Yeah.
That so is figure a that great out. Performance. He needs to get a stopwatch. Yeah, you need to stop. Take it to Whopper and show it off. Look what I have.
Ooh.
Look what I have.
Why, thank
it's
you
lightweight,
very much.
Easy to travel, works very accurate down to a hundredth of a second.
I don't believe Mr. Progler has one.
Yeah.
Oh, I will make sure that I will wear it in front of him then.
He was at SDPCon last week, and we didn't give him one.
That's right.
Tis.
So yeah, just wave it around. Don't have one.
Will do.
All right, thanks, James, guys.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
That's
it.
An awesome story. You're going to head in.
Thank you, Mr. Davis.
Very good, man.
Good talking.
Have a good one. Take care. And with the chimes, we're going to bring our coverage of the Perform 2015 to a close here, James. And we'll say farewell to everyone that's given a story, even right down to the last. You're crying. It's okay. You know, there'll be next year, Perform 2016. Yeah, sorry. Now he's having sinus problems. And I will say thanks to everyone that brought us here. We really enjoyed learning how to do an event as the Perf Bytes event. And to everyone that was listening remotely and will continue listening.
Thank you for staying with us through the experimentation.
I think the first time we've done an event like this, so thanks. And let us know your feedback. You can send us, obviously, ask@perfbytes.com or info@perfbytes.com. You can get to us and give us your feedback, what you think.
Did you want to close the show with a puzzler?
No, I think James had the most awesome puzzler right there. Like, you go through all that.
The work. F5 key for the keyboard being tipped key. Up.
Yeah, good.
That's pretty good.
So anyway, thank you, guys. Hopefully we'll see you next year at Dynatrace Perform 2016.
Yep.